Now, I've said it once, I've said it twice, and I'll say it again. This episode of A Slice of Ham is brought to you by my lovely, lovely Patreon supporters, including but not limited to Shalan Lane, Jordan Maloney, Seth Godwin, Heather Aranda, August Reed, Marty Abernathy, Christy Knapp, Leslie Gettinger, Mindy Carrier, Rebecca Handy, Allie McDowell, Shauna, Shelby Wheeler, it's only one name, Shelby Wheeler, Kimberly Newell, Crystal Lurvy, Jordan Ackley, Aislinn Wilkerson, Dan Murphy, Callie Maiden, and Brooke Ponstein. I love all of you. We're already up to 20 patrons. My God, I can't believe it. Thank you all for joining the family. Thank you all for sticking around. I hope you enjoy. It seems like the majority of the Patreon supporters are a part of the $10 book club tier. So that makes me very, very happy that that is going very well and that people are enjoying it, that you guys are enjoying what you're hearing. I love that. If you're enjoying the Chris Watts case, I am too. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. Getting a better look into their lives. Thank you all. Thank you all. All you beautiful people, thank you all. All right. Now it's time to get into our regularly scheduled slice of ham. I'm going to have a stroke right after this.
I love the funk.
Oh my, all right. I completely forgot through the whole like time that I've been doing this podcast, which hey, welcome to the podcast today. The whole time that we've been doing the podcast, I put links in the bottom that's like, hey, man, you know, show me. There's voice memos. You can leave a voice memo. You can leave a voice memo. I want to hear it. And then I just forgot about that. So I have some voice memos ready to be played today. I figured we would start with a good one by Kayla has a question. Don't you, Kayla? I believe that's the name. It is. Kayla, what's your question?
Hi, I'm Kayla, and when I'm not listening to A Slice of Ham, I'm trying to figure out how Mr. Hamilton can speak in Spanish so damn fast.
Juro lealtad a la bandera de los Estados Unidos de América, la República que representa.
I got tripped over the Spanish. Oh shit. I don't. I only know how to say a few specific phrases and words very fast. My go-to, as you just heard, was the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm a complete fraud. I learned in my Spanish 2 class. Me and my best friend talked about it on episode 6. But yeah, I do it to impress the white folk. What else do we have? I know we have another message from, who do we got? Kiefer Bullock? Are you kidding me? Kiefer, what do you got?
Hello, Mr. Casey Hamilton. You actually follow me on TikTok at Kiefer Bullock. Not a shout out, though. This is about you. I think the next topic for your lovely, lovely, lovely podcast should be the Chernobyl conspiracy theory. I love reading about these on Wikipedia and various pages on TikTok, and I would love to hear you cover them. Thank you.
See, now this is actually a very good suggestion, Kiefer, because the moment you said, like, the conspiracy theories surrounding Chernobyl, me and my brain, I went, what conspiracy theories? So that's always a good fucking sign whenever I'm like, what are you talking about? What is there? A fresh rabbit hole to dive into is one of my favorite things. I will tell you what, I am completely unfamiliar with the Chernobyl disaster, other than the fact that it happened and it was bad. I know that something went wrong in the reactor or whatever. I don't even know what the reactor, like, you hear my ignorance just as I talk. And I know that there's a TV series based on Chernobyl. I watched like the first 5 minutes of it and then I fell asleep because I wasn't fully into it, but I know that it's a good show. I know that it's a fairly accurate show as well. So that'll be something to look into. I will do, I'm going to actually write that down. If you'll hear, I have a big old list of potential episodes that I can do, just that I can pick and choose from, just so that I don't have to rack my brain on, like, what do I do? What do I podcast about? Because there are some days where my brain gets fried and I'm like, what the fuck am I? I don't know what I want to eat, much less what I want to do a whole podcast episode about. Can I get a pen that's not broken? A pink highlighter will work. Chernobyl and... Can you hear me writing? And it's conspiracy. C's. I wrote it down. Thank you, Kiefer, for that suggestion. That's a very good one. God. Because I know there's been, like, Chernobyl is interesting. 3 Mile Island is also interesting as well. I think 3 Mile Island is one of those nuclear fuck-ups, but in the United States. How fun. Who else do we got? This is actually a lot of fun. I think the next message is going to be from Kimberly Newell.
Hi, my name is Kim. I'm a big fan of yours from TikTok and now your podcast. And today I've been listening to your episode on mental health and, like, dude, you, like, punched me in the gut. Everything you say about how you just negative self-talk and, like, you, like, sometimes physically beat yourself up when you're frustrated, all of that, like, hit home so hard. And I just want you to know you are not alone. I'm a little bit older than you. I've been dealing with this for years. And what you need to hear is that you're more than funny. You are so incredibly kind, and that is clear. That radiates. It shines. And just, like, keep doing this podcast because you are reaching people like me who feel, like, alone with our mental health in such a way that you'll never know. You're going to change the world, dude. You are amazing. Keep it up.
I'm just going to drink that in. Kim, thank you for saying that. And I, my go-to response for something like that is, as always, my brain goes, you give me too much credit, which is me discrediting myself, which is part of the self-loathing and all that you talked about. I do want to do another, the episode that I did on mental health was very scattershot, but I'm not afraid of being vulnerable. I mean, I got a knot on the side of my head right now from punching myself like 4 days ago. But I hit myself one time and then I immediately caught myself and I was like, stop, don't do it. And I didn't hit myself more than once. So I'm getting emotional just talking about it right now. That's a step in the right direction for me because a couple months ago, I would have just wailed on myself. So it's nice to know that I help people not be alone, I guess. I can't give myself all that credit. I feel like that's too high of praise, too great of praise. But you never know what other people are going through. You never know if there are other people listening to me that might go through the same thing. So I appreciate you saying that to me. Thank you very much, Kim. Oh, man, I didn't expect to cry. Oh, man. 3 voice memos is good. I'm going to save some for other podcast episodes. They're beautiful. You guys are so beautiful. Thank you so much. I like hearing your voices as well. I like hearing your lives. Okay. I'll be honest here. I do not have a specific direction that I want to take for this. I have a topic that I kind of want to talk about, but I haven't done a whole lot of research on it because I don't feel like I need to do research because I've kept up with this case for the longest fucking time. It's over completely now, as much as it can be. And it's just, we'll get into it later. If you've never heard of Robert Durst, then it's going to be fun. But primarily the research that I'm going to pull is from his Wikipedia page, and it's going to be very conversational rather than research focused, because I've seen the documentary series, I've done all the research, I've kept up with this case for the longest time. Okay, what else is going on in my neck of the woods? I have a song coming out on October 14th on Spotify and on other music platforms. I'm a feature on a song by the lovely my dyslexia really hinders my growth sometimes. I don't actually have lysdexia. Holy shit! Hey, buddy. It's time to speak normally. I don't actually have dyslexia, but I do swap words and phrases. I have, my brain has holes in it. Ava, EvaSnyder. Ava Snyder. Ava Snyder Music on TikTok and on other platforms, but Ava Snyder on Spotify. She reached out to me and was like, hey, listen to this song. And I was like, I actually like your music. I would love to collaborate with you. And she's been the first artist to be like, yeah, let's do something. And we made it happen. And now I'm on one of her songs. It's called Salem, and it comes out October 14th. It's a bit of a Halloween breakup anthem. And I did the intro, the outro, and the bridge. And I'm fucking, it's great. I got to do some voiceover. I got to do some actual singing for it. And it sounds beautiful. It's a wonderful little bop. So go check it out. There's a link in my Beacons page on my Instagram bio and my TikTok bio. All sorts of links. It's right at the top, the pre-save link. So you can go and check that out. Also, I have a Twitch stream now. I have a Twitch account. I'm a Twitch affiliate. I just reached affiliate status. So now you can have subscriber badges and different emotes in the chat. And there's going to be a subscriber-specific Discord. There's already a Discord worked up for the actual stream itself. And it's a place where I can play games, where we can hang out, where we can do little watch parties, you know, that aren't as intimate as others. Primarily, it's a place for me to play video games and for me to chat with an audience. And, you know, to hopefully, you know, use that as another stream of revenue to come in. Who knows? But the real important thing, and what has really taken me by surprise through the podcasting and through streaming, I'm having fun again. I'm having so much fun. I'm having fun podcasting. I'm having fun streaming. I don't give a shit about the numbers. I'm just doing it just to do it, just to build a niche community, a little niche streaming community, a little niche podcasting community. And it's much more intimate than, you know, a 6.2 million follower base where, you know, if somebody sends me a DM, it might get lost in the fucking ether. But if somebody sends me a Patreon message or somebody chats with me in my Twitch stream, it's absolutely going to get read. And I like that. Even on my TikTok lives sometime, which I'm fucking banned for going live for 2 weeks. Thanks a lot, TikTok. Suck my fat nuts. I was going live while I was Twitch streaming, and apparently you can't do that. So they banned me for 2 weeks for going live. That's really nice. But the chat on TikTok lives even goes like a mile a minute, and it's hard to, you know, give everybody their dues, you know, give everybody the attention that I'd like to give them. Because I remember how it used to be when I started. It was like 30 people in the live, and the chat would go slow, and it was an intimate little thing, and we would have a conversation, and then it just exploded. But I am on Twitch now. It's twitch.tv/HamiltonStreams. twitch.tv/HamiltonStreams. HamiltonStreams. I love that. God, somebody also sent me a message on Patreon. I loved it. It was very, very sweet. I don't know how All right, let's go to my messages here. Somebody sent me a message that was really wonderful. Very wonderful. Very, very good. Let's see. They said something nice. I forgot. I found it. It was the lovely Christy Knapp, one of my Patreon supporters. Christy, hello. That's my aunt's name. I have an Aunt Christy. I don't know why I said it. Shout out to Aunt Christy. We were sending messages back and forth. She sent me a long message, you know, just dropping a note to say how she loves the podcast, thank you very much, and to share some of her thoughts about the books that we're reading, because she's a member of the Secret Book Club, and I can't tell you her thoughts about the Chris Watts book, because that's a secret, it's a secret. But she said, first of all, the Turpin parents were so fucked up, not only the psychological abuse, the physical abuse, but the psychological abuse as well, heartbreaking. She also noticed that I advised my listeners that if any of the situations sound familiar to them, or if they or someone they know are in that situation, to go get help. And I never thought of that as something that was like novel or something that was, you know, above and beyond to do. But it was wonderful to get their reaction. She said, I can't even explain how wonderful it is that you care enough to say that. I've listened to quite a few different podcasts over the years that deal with true crime stories, and I've never heard any of them say that. Well, the thing is about a lot of true crime podcasts, the market is very saturated. We wouldn't be covering these true crime stories if not for what these victims went through. And so, if any of these, you know, beats of the story, any of these beats that we hit, if any of those sound familiar to you as a listener, get out of that situation before you become one of the stories that we talk about. That's what I mean. I don't want anybody to go through this shit. I don't want anybody to be abused. I don't want anybody. Can you imagine if one day down the line, 10 years, y'all read about me and how I get murdered and this horrible story, and you go, oh my God, that is awful. I kind of sort of knew that man. I was familiar with him. I knew what he was like. I was friends with that man. That would be devastating. I wouldn't want any of my friends to go through that. I wouldn't want any of you guys to go through that. Any of the horrible stuff that we cover. So, hey, if you're in any of these situations, if any of this sounds familiar, get some help. There have been situations in my own life where I've reevaluated and been like, oh, that shit wasn't okay. Man, the amount of pressure that was put on me as a young man, as a child, throughout my entire life, the pressure that was put on me. This is just my personal example, mind you. I had a lot of pressure, like, to perform, to be a good kid, to be, you know, to be excellent, to be a superstar, to keep up with the Joneses, and to not give the rest of the town a reason to gossip about you. Only give people, you know, reasons to say good things about you. You know, you join Boy Scouts, you play sports, you volunteer, you do extracurricular volunteer stuff. You take higher AP classes. You push yourself. You push yourself. Be valedictorian. Be valedictorian. Be valedictorian. Even though I didn't give a shit about being valedictorian, I don't care about that. You know, there were a lot of different. That's just one example of, like, this is how we want you to perform. And I'm a very creative individual. I can perform in other ways. I can be a superstar without having to get straight A's. And I've proven that. I've proven that just through the social media stuff alone. I know that social media is all about, it's 50% luck. And the people, the personalities that can really stay on social media and keep longevity, they got something in their personality that makes them an entertainer, that makes people want to follow them, at least for a little while. So it's 50% lightning in a bottle, you know, catching that lightning in a bottle and, you know, finding that big break moment. For me, it was May 14th. It was April 1st and then May 14th. The biggest big push was the Lizzo video, but I was still at like 400,000 before that. You know, some people see success on social media like that and they panic and then they don't post it at all anymore. So it all depends on how are you, the ball is in your court. What are you going to do with it? I don't have to get straight A's and do all this shit to be the person that I want to be a success, to be something worth bragging about. I don't have to do all this fancy shit. I'm going to start crying. And it was only until recently that I took a step back and went, ooh, maybe all that pressure was a bad thing, because right now I'm putting all that pressure on myself unconsciously. The inner voice in my head is not my voice. I know exactly whose voice it is, and it ain't mine. It's a mean, nasty, harsh voice, a voice with high expectations of myself. Boy, I guess we're gonna go down the mental health route this episode, and I, you know, it's something that's easier for me to talk about. You know, again, Christy brought up the point of like, if this is familiar to you, get up out of here. And you know, you never know what is going to trigger you in some instances. But, you know, if any of those horrible beats of any of the stories that we cover sound familiar, evaluate your situation. Maybe go, am I in danger? Is this bad? At the very least, take a closer look. And that's not to say that my childhood was horrible and just full of pressure. No, it was wonderful. I had a wonderful childhood. I had a wonderful, privileged childhood. I had a wonderful family. I have beautiful parents. I have beautiful siblings that loved me and still love me, provided for me, made sure that I was okay. But at the same time, living in a small town and being a family that is a little bit well known in that small town, you know, my dad is the scoutmaster, my mom works at the school, and my grandmother was on the Plant City mural. She was one of the people on the mural, painted forever recognized as part of Plant City history, that woman. She was the librarian at the elementary school for God knows how long. How many kids did she teach to read? My grandfather was an administrator at a middle school in town. I mean, he was an assistant principal at the local middle school, like one of the three middle schools in the area. A lot of people know my family in that tiny town. So being a child of that family, you gotta kind of be on your P's and Q's. And I am a big person. Obviously, I'm a big personality. I'm a fucking freak. I'm a weirdo. I wear bright colors and I'm pretty effeminate. I cry a lot. I'm not afraid of being vulnerable. I'm loud. I'm obnoxious. I am annoying at times. But I'm a lot of fun. And throughout my years, I've learned, you know, how to be a shoulder to cry on for people, how to be a laugh for people if they need it, how to be just a quick flash of light to brighten someone's day. Sometimes the flash of light that I am might be way too fucking bright for some people, and that's fine. That is okay. I recognize that I am entirely too bright for some people. And it's not like, Those people can't handle me. No, it's me. I am too bright. I am too much. Their eyes cannot handle it. Their eyes either have to adjust after a while. There are some people that, you know, they meet me for the first time and they're like, whew, he was a lot. But then after a while, they come to, you know, they know what to expect. And then after a while, I also have a tendency when I meet new people to feel like I need to be like on all the time, like feel like I need to perform, because that's how I've always been. I'm the comic relief. I'm good for a laugh. And I guess it's all wrapped up in my own poor self-image of myself. But my girlfriend's best friend, Morgan, shout out to Morgan. Hello, how are you? I hope you're doing well. My girlfriend's best friend, Morgan, one of her best friends. When I first started hanging out with her, I was very, you know, goofy. I was very on. I was very, you know, I gotta be funny. I gotta be the guy. But now it's calming down more. Now that I know her for a while, it's happening with her father too. Like now that I am around her dad more and more, I'm starting to calm down. But I don't know why. I just feel the need to perform because that's how it's always been. You gotta be on your P's and Q's. You live in Plant City. You're a Hamilton. Don't embarrass us. You know, that's what it is. Oh boy, don't you dare embarrass my family. That is one of the cardinal sins, is to be embarrassing. Oh my God, I was so embarrassed. And at a very, very early age, I came to terms with the fact that sometimes I'm embarrassing. Sometimes I'm obnoxious. Sometimes I'm a lot, but that's not a bad thing. And there was a lot of pushback and pullback as to, you know, whether or not that was okay for me to do. And eventually I just had to say, fuck it. I'm going to do what I want anyway. And then all the TikTok stuff started happening and here we are. So it worked out for me. How did we get here? This is a tangent. How did we end up here? Yeah, if you see any of these bad things, any of these red flags, bolt, get out of there. Yeah, in my personal experience, this year, I just now realized that my anger is something that I cannot control. Like the way, obviously my anger is something that I control, like the way that I, you know, handle myself, I can control it to a degree. But there's also a part of my anger that is literally 0 to 100. It's like a switch goes off. And I, most of the time, I would say 60% of the time, maybe 75, I am angry. Like something annoying happens and then I get angry. And then before I realize I'm angry, I'm already like in asshole mode. And it's my whole life. I was like, it's your fault. It's because you can't control yourself, you fucking baby. And you can hear how mean I'm being to myself right now. You fucking baby, you fucking idiot. Why can't you just fucking be normal? I ask myself that question so much. So much I ask myself that question. I don't know why I'm whispering. No one's here. Why can't you just be normal? Why can't you just handle things normally? And it was only until recently that I kind of had to give myself a break and be like, you have a chemical imbalance in your brain. Give yourself a break. And even then, even after having that realization, most of the time I don't give myself a break. Most of the time I still get mad at myself for getting angry, like for getting frustrated, for getting annoyed. Like my phone will be slow and I'll go like, ugh, fuck. Like that. It'll be like a little burst of annoyance like that. It's not really great to be around. It's not really cool to hang out with. It just happens. And I know how shitty that sounds. Like, it just happens. I can't control it. But I can control it. I can control how I deal with it after it happens. You know, it's the initial like burst of like, ugh, fuck. That just comes, it just slips out. It's like a switch flip, 0 to 100. Like, I was not annoyed, and then now I am. Now I'm annoyed. I'm a different person, Jekyll and Hyde. That part I can't control. That part I can't control. How quick it is. How immediate it is from like, you are not angry to now you're angry. It's immediate. And it's so frustrating. It's so jarring. It makes me feel like I'm not in control of myself. It makes me feel like a child. It makes me not feel like an adult. I'm sorry to cry directly into the microphone, but it's... That part sucks. That part I cannot control. That part is the chemical imbalance. However, after that happens, I can absolutely control how I handle that. And most of the time, my brain, it feels like it's going to last forever. It feels like once I'm angry, I'm never going to not be angry. And then my brain is like, oh, my brain freaks out. And I'm like, okay, how can you calm yourself down? How can you not be angry? And there's like all of these thoughts are swimming in my head at the same time. Like whenever I get, like, let's say my computer freezes for a second and I'll go, ugh, fuck. And then my brain will immediately go, why are you getting so angry? Why can't you just be normal? Don't get angry. Come on, stop it. Stop it. And then I'll get angry at the fact that I'm getting angry. Which is foolish and not very conducive to calming down, but I'll get mad at the fact that I'm mad. I will freak out and be like, why can't you calm yourself down? Or if I get really worked up, I won't be able to articulate my thoughts very well. And I will literally stumble over my own words if my brain is worked up to that point. Like, I will get angry and frustrated, and then my girlfriend will be like, what's wrong, baby? How can I help? And I will, in the process of trying to explain how I got so angry, get angry at the fact that I can't get the words out. And then I'll lash out at her, which is not fucking fair. And I've done that to everybody in my close proximity throughout my life. My best friend Brian, my brother, my sister, my parents, my friends, my family, to the point where I isolate myself from people. I think that I am only good for a laugh. And after that, once the comedy is done, I go back to my hole, shut the door, and everyone can forget about me, because the alternative is dealing with the rest of me, which I don't think is worth it. And this is just me and my own self-loathing and my own self-doubt and my own misgivings talking. It's the mean voice in my brain taking control of the megaphone. But I hate it. That's probably the thing that I hate most about myself. And obviously it's the thing that I don't show. I don't show any of my anger fits on social media or on TikTok or whatever. I got angry on a stream a couple days ago, and that was really the closest that people have seen my anger in real time, because my stream was lagging and my game, I couldn't get the sound to work even though it was working before. Something about technological fuck-ups, about like issues with technology, really set me off because I consider myself a tech-savvy individual. I know how to set shit up. I set up a goddamn stream. I set up a podcast. I know how to hook up a microphone. I taught kids how to edit shit. I know how to work a goddamn computer and software. I know how to do shit. And when, like, we hooked up a Chromecast to the TV, for example, and I got very annoyed and frustrated, and I worked myself up to the point where I had to go to another room and, like, cool off because I was so, like, frustrated, like, to that degree because the Chromecast wouldn't connect to the TV. And in my fucking defense, see, I'm getting just as mad thinking about this Chromecast moment that happened literally, like, 5 months ago. And that's another problem with my brain is that it'll, I think about things that make me mad and it'll, I get just as mad as if it just happened, as if it was happening to me again. And that's why I got three psychiatrists that I'm going to call that I need to call at some point soon. I've been seeing a therapist weekly. I have an appointment tomorrow. It's very tiring. It's very tiring. The Chromecast wouldn't connect. And it was because, like, it was something wrong with the plug. We had to plug it into, we were trying to plug it into the power strip. And apparently you have to plug in the USB to the TV. You take the Chromecast USB, the USB that powers the Chromecast, plug it into the TV, use the power from the TV to power the Chromecast, and then plug it back into the TV so it's like a loop, which I thought you weren't supposed to do. And the thing is, there was nothing on the instructions that said anything about that. The instructions didn't say dick about it. They didn't say a fucking thing about you needing to plug it. They just said plug it in. Plug it in. It just said, plug it in, bitch! You see how mad I'm getting? All it said was, plug it in. Plug it in. Plug it into the fucking power strip to the TV? What the fuck? And there was no FAQ. I shouldn't have to fucking Google it. I should not have to Google it. I shouldn't have to fucking Google it. I shouldn't have to fucking Google the answer when the instructions are right there in fucking front of me. You see what I mean? That was just me riding the that was me riding the train just because I could. But that did get me that angry, you know. There's nobody else in the house. I can yell all I want. But yeah, there are some times where I'll be talking about an issue and like it'll piss me off just as much and I have to stop. I have to stop myself. I have to go like, okay, we gotta... There'll be times where I'll have to go into the other room or something. I had to do that for the Chromecast thing. I got so mad that I threw the Chromecast across the room onto the other couch. I didn't break it. I made sure to throw it onto a padded surface. Getting better. And I went upstairs and I chilled out for an hour. But, like, also, the cooldown times for me are incredibly long sometimes. Like, I have to sit for an hour, hour and a half after freaking out. And it's always over some bullshit. It's always over some fucking bullshit. Like, a Chromecast wouldn't work? Really? That's my mother's voice. That's my mom's voice right there. That is like, really? You're freaking out over it? It's a game. It's a TV. Are you serious? Your socks feel weird and that's why you're mad? Get over it. Like, and I get it to a degree. And yeah, my socks feeling weird. That was when I was a young child. If my socks were a little bit too bunched up, I would get so fucking mad and freaked out. Wouldn't be able to do it. Because I have flat feet as well, and I don't like... I think that I need to get tested for, like, being on the spectrum. Like, I need to figure out where on the spectrum that I am, because I absolutely think that I am. And I hate to self-diagnose, and I'm not self-diagnosing right now, but there are tendencies of mine that are very specific, very peculiar, very... it just makes me wonder if I'm on the spectrum. And there was a college professor that I had, Laura Sabella. God love her, my guardian angel. She has a son with autism, and she was very candid about, you know, how beautiful, but also how tough it could be. And she was like, everybody's on the spectrum. Everyone is on the spectrum. And she was very sweet, very, you know, matter of fact, like everybody's on the spectrum. Everybody should get tested. And she, you know, modeled some quote unquote autistic behaviors. And I was like, God damn, I do every single one of those. I do every single one of those. My taste in music specifically, makes me wonder if I'm on the spectrum a little bit, like a hair. Because my taste in music is so hyper specific. I listen to bouncy music, and whether that's New Orleans bounce, there are obviously different types of music, but it all fits the same theme of like bouncy music. I don't like slow songs. They're fucking boring to me. I like, I like a good four on the floor beat. I don't know how to like explain it. It's just anything that's very bouncy that you can dance to. I have a playlist on Spotify that I might link at some point called Pink Vibes, PINKVIBES, Pink Vibes. And it's pretty much just all that kind of bouncy music. Yeah. The main thing for me is my anger, you know, my frustration, how I lash out. And it is 0 to 100 at the flip of a fucking switch. It is so quick. But what I can control is how I deal with it after it happens. Like, I'm trying to get better at recognizing, like, okay, you're angry right now. Bring yourself down. But I fail 95% of the time. My brain does not allow me to not hyperfixate on the fact that I'm pissed. It's just like, it just spins. It's like a fucking whirlpool in my head. It's like a tornado in my head of just hate and anger and frustration. And I can't grab a thought and pin it down. It's like everything is, like, you hear me stuttering. Like, I'll get so angry and I'm like, and my girlfriend would be like, what's wrong? Like, what happened? I'll be like, and then I'll get mad that I can't speak. And then I will hit myself and it'll spiral. Or I can catch myself before that happens, which I've been trying to do. Like, most of the time, I mean, I think it's a very good thing that I've had moments where I get angry and I want to hit myself, but I haven't. And that's great. I've had moments where I've gotten angry and I've hit myself once, like one time in the head or one time in the thigh or one time in the stomach. And then I go, stop, stop. It's like the other half of my brain takes the wheel again and goes, stop it, cut it out. You're not supposed to do that. That's bad. It's not good for you. Take better care of yourself, please. So I'm getting better. But there's also a degree of my mental health relating to my anger where it's just, I can't fucking control it. I cannot control it. And I've tried for 26 years. I have tried for 26 years to fucking control it. And I've put myself through hell mentally because I haven't been able to. I've equated it to my intelligence. I've called myself stupid. I have thought that I've let down my family and friends by not being able to fucking take a hold of it. The way that I think, here's a revelation for you all. Here's how I think everyone sees me once they really get to know me. I just an angry fuck, just an angry fuck. Just a big, fat, angry fuck. I think that's how my family sees me. I think that's how my friends see me. Just an irritable, angry fuck. And it's entirely indicative of my own self-perception, of my own view of myself. And I'll be the first person to say that my self-image, close to zero. I think I'm good because I'm funny. And God damn it, Kim sent a whole voice message saying that I wasn't, that I was more than just being funny. And I'm still sitting here. My brain is still telling me that that's the one thing that I'm good for. And I would love to sit here and say, like, and I know that's not true, but I don't. I don't. I'm not crying because of... I'm crying because it's like, how awful of a thought process to have. If any of you guys treat yourself like this, stop it. Stop it. I cry a lot when I talk about it because it's almost like I'm hearing myself. Like from an objective viewpoint, I'm hearing myself talk about how I treat myself from an outsider's perspective. And it's like, sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you treating yourself so poorly? And I, you know, through therapy, I've figured out that it's because, goddamn, I had so much pressure put on myself as a child that when I don't live up to that pressure, when I don't live up to the image that I have, you know, either built for myself that I feel like I should live up to, or whether it's other people's expectations of me that I'm just putting on myself. And I guarantee you it's the second one. I don't think it's something that I've invented. I think it's something that I have taken and ran with. It is the high expectations that I put on myself to perform, to be a good person, to be a good kid, to be, you know, to keep up with the Joneses, to be that Plant City person. It absolutely comes from, it's my family. It comes from the town that I lived in, you know? I'm taking that be valedictorian energy and running with it. And it's not anybody's fault. You know, it's not the people who put that pressure on me. They weren't doing it on purpose. Like, yeah, well, let's fuck up this kid. Let's make him put pressure on himself throughout his life. Let's make him think that he's a piece of shit. No, they were doing it because they wanted, you know, they wanted a good kid. You had a set of parents that wanted their kid to perform. You had a teacher that wanted their kid to perform. You had, you know, an authority figure that wanted the kid to perform. You know, there's been a lot of people, my parents, my teachers, my grandparents, my family members, friends, that I have sort of twisted their expectations into being like a goal that if I don't attain it, I'm a bad person. And that's some pretty fucking crazy mental yoga to do. You know, like, for example, I was in Boy Scouts. I was in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts from, like, Tiger Cub to Eagle. I'm an Eagle Scout myself. My dad was the Scoutmaster. And it was basically like, I don't care if you don't like it, you're gonna do it. It looks good for a resume. Being an Eagle Scout is very, very good for a resume. It's highly respected in a lot of facets of the adult world. So that's what I did. I did scouts. I did monthly campouts in the out of doors in the Florida weather. And I recently discovered, as an adult, I tried to take my girlfriend camping. I was like, you know what? We should go camping. What a cute date idea. We'll go camping. I set up the tent. I set up the air mattress. I set up a fire. We had s'mores, and then it was time to sit in the tent to go to sleep. And I sat on the. It was big ass. It was better than any other camping trip that I had ever been on as a scout. We had to two people to a tent, and it was a tiny ass fucking tent. This was a big ass tent with an air mattress and shit. We never had an air mattress when we were camping as campers. You know, we could have brought it, but it was too much. I'm sitting in that tent. I'm laying down, staring up at the tent ceiling. And I get this fucking horrible, like, gut-wrenching, creepy-crawly feeling down my spine. Like, hey, leave. Leave. You want to leave right now. And I discovered that I don't like camping. As a 26-year-old man, well, I was 25 at the time. 25, 26-year-old man, I recently discovered I don't like the outdoors when it's hot. I like camping in the winter, but this was like in the middle of the summer. It was muggy, it was humid, it was hot, it was in the middle of Florida. Fuck that. And so I was like, hey, do you want to go home? And so we did. We just went home. And I remember like having a revelation like, damn, that sucks. I was really excited to go camping because I thought that I liked it. But did I only like it because I was in scouts for 12 years? Or whatever, or however long it took. I think I was in scouts for about 10 years, actually. Whatever. 8, 9, 10. I finished when I was 16. And I think I started when I was like 6 or 7. Probably 6. I was in kindergarten. It was young. Like as a Boy Scout, like when you moved into Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, not so much, but Boy Scouts, every month we did a camp out. And then there were some times where we did summer camps. I remember when, God damn it, I went to a summer, there was a sleepaway camp that I went to called Good Counsel Camp. Went to Good Counsel Camp for 2 weeks, then came back home and was told by my parents that the next day I was going to a Boy Scout summer camp for another fucking week. I wanted to be home. I wanted air I'm getting just as mad. Again, that's the problem with my chemical imbalance in my brain is I'm getting just as mad as if I was like 14 listening to this bullshit again. Went to camp for 2 weeks. Like a sleepaway camp, no air conditioning, it's hot as fuck, but it was fun. Come back, and it's like the next day, we're going to North Carolina for a Boy Scout camp, pack your stuff. I wanted to sleep, I wanted to sleep in, I wanted to sleep in air conditioning, I wanted a fucking shower, I wanted to watch TV, I did not want to go, and more importantly, I didn't want to go with that troop. I didn't want to go... Not with that troop, but I didn't want to go to another fucking state. I didn't want to go to a fucking summer camp. I didn't want to go to that thing. I didn't want to go with anything to do with that particular outing. But I don't care if you don't like it. You're going to do it. So I did it. I didn't have a fucking choice. And that's, I think, where a lot of the frustration comes in. But also, you can't be mad at that because it was only, you know, to try to instill responsibility and good, you know, good skills, life skills, and to help pad the resume for later, you know? A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, you know? On my honor, I will do my duty to God and my country, to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, and to keep myself mentally strong, mentally strong. Oh, fuck. Did I forget the scout oath and law? I got the scout oath. Or was that the scout law? We did that so many fucking times. To keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. There it is. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, and to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And what is a scout? Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Casey Hamilton, as an individual, does not like to sweat, does not like the out of doors. I like the out of doors when it's cold. I like to be cold. I'm a big, fat, red-headed, hot-blooded fuck. I don't like to sweat. I don't like it when it's hot. I like it when it's cold because you can warm yourself up. If you're hot, you can't get less. It's so much harder to get less hot than it is to warm yourself up. So it was, I loved the winter camping months because it was cold, but camping in the summer in Florida, we had to do campouts, summer camps in the middle of fucking June and July. Camping in the Florida wilderness in the middle of May. Oh my God. No, and we would go, like, we would have to take tents, propane stoves. We would leave no trace. Pitch up your tents. Leave everything the way you found it, like campgrounds, no air conditioning, no outhouses. You go piss in the woods. You deal with that. I love my family dearly, but high expectations for sure. And I've carried those high expectations into every aspect of my life. My inner voice is not my own. It is the voice of everybody who, you know, consciously or unconsciously put that pressure on me. And that's what I've learned throughout therapy as well, is, you know, I can't even be mad about it, about half of it. I mean, I can, but, you know, I can't, like, be out for revenge or whatever the fuck. And really, I can't be mad about it because, they put me in scouts. Fuck out of here. Like, can you imagine if I actually, it's not so much that I'm complaining about that. It's just that I didn't even realize that that wasn't what I wanted to do because I didn't even have a chance. I didn't even have a chance to figure that out. What I wanted to do, make videos. I wanted to make stupid little movies. I wanted to make stupid little videos. And I never knew how to edit properly until I taught myself how to edit. When I was a teacher, my first year of teaching, I taught myself how to use Adobe Premiere. Before that, I was an iMovie person. And a little bit of Final Cut Pro. But what I really wanted to do was make stupid videos and movies. I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to do what I'm doing right now. I wanted to do this. I just didn't know it. So it's very, I know it sounds weird to like complain about that shit, but we all have our own different, you know, we all have our soups. We all have our weird like trauma soups. And for me, I guess a lot of, it's a mix between like, I feel like I need to perform and be this person that everybody wants me to be. I feel like I have to be on all the time. And if I'm not, like, for example, this is very weird to talk about because it's so public. But when I was a teacher living at home, overweight, I wasn't necessarily the family member to be the most proud of, you know. I was fat, you know, obnoxious, still living at home, still an eyesore. I couldn't, in my mind, I didn't, there wasn't a whole lot to brag about, you know. And that's, I put it very harshly, but I was an eyesore. And so there wasn't a whole lot of positive attention being thrown that way. But then as soon as that TikTok stuff started happening, boy, did the positive attention start coming my way from a lot of people. From, like, even family members. Like, random Facebook messages from people, yeah, but even family members of mine started talking to me more. Started reaching out more. Started reaching out, like, in a more positive way. Which sucks. Which that sucks. Like, there were even some family members of mine. When I was a fat fuck, when I was like an overweight teacher still living at home, I had family members that were very like snappy with me, and it was very clear that it was like, we're not proud of you. Ugh. It was like, eh, whatever, fuck you. But now that I've lost weight and the TikTok social media stuff has popped off, and now like I'm a quote unquote celebrity, a social media star, whatever. You know, now that I have at least a little bit of clout, I started, you know, getting text messages from these family members out of the blue, like asking how I'm doing, telling me that they're proud of me. When it's like, where was that before? Where was that when I was a teacher polishing a program that historically had not been cared about? You know, it was an easy A class. And then I came in there and I wanted to make it a little bit more academic. I wanted to certify my kids. I wanted them to be excited about making videos. I wanted them to be like how I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to do. We won more awards. You know, we've got more kids certified than we ever did when I was there. I was proud of myself. But it's not really something that you can brag about, you know? You know, it's, oh, he does a great job in his class, but you're staring at a 375-pound fat fuck who still lives at home, so that wasn't necessarily the best for my self-image, you know? And then the social media stuff pops off, and I lose weight, and I get a whole nother side of these friends and family members. You know, they seem more interested in me. They seem more proud of me, more willing to return a call or a text message or like ask me how I'm doing. Whereas before, when I was a big fat teacher, I didn't get like a how are you? How's it going? But now that I've got some shiny social media clout, you know, that is a frustrating thing as well. That's one of the more frustrating things about social media, is that some people can come out of the woodwork. I guess mainly my issue is I have problems with anger and a chemical imbalance, and I'm trying my very best to work with it as I can, but I need more help with it than I can do myself. And also the pressure that I put on myself. I'm trying my best to work through that. But I'll be honest and tell you that I would be lying to you if I said that I was succeeding. Because I don't feel like I am succeeding with the pressure, with the amount of pressure that I put on myself. Because even before social media, I was putting pressure on myself to perform, to be, you know. It's always been there. It's always been there. I don't even think I'm going to talk about another topic today. I think this is very insightful. Because I was originally going to talk about Robert Durst, but we can probably save that for another time. And I have not done my research, and this is easier to talk about. Yeah. A little moment of silence for us. If there's anybody out there listening to this right now that I don't even really know what to say. Like, if you desperately want to give yourself a break but can't, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You just got to learn. You got to reteach yourself. I have no idea how to give myself a break. People tell me that all the time. You got to give yourself a break. You just got to stop being so mean to yourself. That's what a lot of other people say to me. I had a creator friend of mine Kay Temps, Kaylin Temple, love you to death. I love you so much. I was over at her apartment, and I was just in one of my self-loathing spirals, like, I'm never going to make it, I'm never going to do it. And I also do this thing where, like, if you give me one compliment or if you give me one avenue as to, oh, maybe it's, here's a silver lining. If you give me a silver lining, like, here's how it's not so bad. Here's why you shouldn't put so much pressure on yourself. I will then give you three reasons as to why you are incorrect. And we will talk in circles for hours. And eventually, she just started crying. She started crying, and I looked at her, and I was like, why are you crying? Because I didn't know. I didn't fucking know why. I was like, why are you crying? What is going on right now? Are you okay? And she just said, you're so mean to yourself. You are so mean to yourself. I don't understand it. And I had never had that happen before. I had never had somebody get emotional over the way that I treat myself. You want to know how I treat myself? Do you want to get an insight onto? I will, and I recognize that none of these things are true, that this is all just like my evil brain being mean to me. But these are the pieces of self-loathing that my brain likes to throw at me a lot. I think that, you know, if my views don't do well on TikTok, I think that my family hates me because they didn't like me before TikTok, I guess. I mean, I was just a big fat fuck. I was a big fat fuck who still lived at home. And then after the TikTok stuff, they started reaching out and I started getting, oh, hey, how are you doing? Oh my God, we're so proud of you. And I'll get text messages from my family members. Like, I'll get text messages from like some friends and even some family members like, woohoo, you hit 6.1 million. Yay. But then they won't text me like, how's it going? Like, how are you doing? How have you been? They'll just say, woohoo, you went up in followers, so proud of you. But it's like, I want to have a conversation sometimes, you know? I want to go beyond that. It's like, is that all you're proud of? Is that it? Because that's the only time that I get any positive reciprocation of energy. That's the only time I ever get any positivity. It's like, woohoo, you're doing great on the internet. Which begs the question, if there aren't numbers to show, are they proud of me? I don't think so. I don't. And that's not even like my self-loathing. That's me like objectively. I don't. Do I think that... Let's go into all the bits of self-loathing and self-doubt that I go through. I feel like, you know, because, you know, my friends and family kind of perk up. And obviously the real people in my life, you know, the real like family members, they don't do that. Like Brian Ross, the friend in episode 6, my best friend, never does that and never fucking would. Because how dare you? I feel like if my views aren't good, then my family won't love me. Because then there's nothing to brag about. I feel like I am going to be forgotten at a moment's notice. I feel like I'm already being forgotten. I feel like there's nothing special about me. I feel like the only thing that's special about me is my ability to make people laugh sometimes. And even then, I don't think that I'm that good at it, so it is what it is. I feel like everyone who has ever loved me or had anything good to say about me is either a fluke or stupid. I feel like my parents, my adoptive parents, my real family, the Hamiltons, I feel like they... I feel like I am too much trouble. for them a lot of the time. And of course, this is just my own brain being mean. I feel like I'm too much trouble for a lot of my family and my friends. I feel like my parents would have been a little bit better off had they not adopted me, because I bring a lot of stress to life. I'm very loud. I'm very obnoxious. I get angry very easily. I'm a hard child to deal with. I feel like I am not good enough to get to where I want to go. I feel like every good thing that has come my way has been an accident. And I'm constantly waiting for the bottom to drop out of my life. I'm waiting for everybody to realize how big of a piece of shit I am and all this stuff. And it's so... Part of that is very egocentric, because, like, not everybody... Like, I also recognize that nobody is fucking thinking about me that much. Like, I am not that special. I just don't... But at the same time, I don't know why my brain is so fucking mean to me. The silver lining here is that I'm actively taking steps to combat it. I'm in weekly therapy, and I'm setting up an appointment with a psychiatrist soon. I have three of them to call, just to figure out which one is good. And the psychiatrist will help me with the uncontrollable chemical imbalance part of my brain, and my therapist is helping me out with everything else. And it's working. It's working. I no longer hit myself like I used to. And I'm slowly but surely getting to the point where I'm not doing it at all. Better and better coping strategies to deal with my anger and my annoyance and my mean brain. The one thing, though, that I have no grip on, that I have no stranglehold on, is my self-loathing, my self-image, how I treat myself, how I love myself. I got no clue. And I'm working on that as well. But right now I'm at square one. Which is so weird, because boy am I good at building other people up. I can give people the advice that they need to hear. I'm very good at... I think teaching helped me out with that as well. I wouldn't be as good at it if I wasn't a teacher. I think teaching really polished that empathy. Teaching gave me like a shot of adrenaline in my empathy gland. Where you can look at a person and even if they don't see anything good about themselves, you can find two or three or four good things about them that they didn't even realize, like strengths of theirs. I guess teaching taught me how to find people's strengths and make them aware of it. I don't know why I can't do it for myself. And I think that's the catch 22 when it comes to mental health and self-loathing and all that shit. I don't know how to be nice to myself, because I feel like if I'm not performing like how I should be performing, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, keep up with the Joneses, you know, be a good kid, be on all the time. I feel like I'm letting people down. I feel like I'm a bad person. And I feel like I should be punished for that. All I can say is that I'm working on it. And, you know, if you are going through some mental health struggles and if you're working on it, good. That's all you can say is I'm working on it. That's it. Went off on a tangent there. Goddamn. Yeah. As long as you're actively working on your mental health, like... Yes, my anger is uncontrollable. There are facets of my anger that I cannot control, but there are also parts of my personality of that anger. Like once that outburst happens, I can put it in the jar and curtail it, or I can let it spiral and freak out and ruin everybody else's day. So I'm working on it. There's a lot of things that I'm working on, but I'm working on it. All right. Oh, shit. I didn't mean to get so emotional. I'm sorry. Let's not apologize for getting emotional, Casey. Fuck. I desperately hope there is part of me that when I close my eyes and I think of the best version of myself, something that makes me really smile, when I think of who I want to be, when I think of who I want to be, I wouldn't change a thing except for I would be nicer to myself. I think that's the center of this horrible onion of a problem of my mental health. Everybody's mental health is like a fucking onion, and you got to figure out what's at the core of yours. And at the core of mine is I am so mean to myself because I put so much pressure on myself. And if I don't live up to that pressure, I'm mean as shit to myself. And even if I do live up to the pressure, sometimes my brain will go, well, you nailed it this time, but maybe you'll fuck up next time. So I can't even enjoy it. Can't even enjoy a win because my brain is preparing me for the next loss. I would like to be able to give myself a break, but how do I do it? How do you give yourself a break? I wish I knew. Oh, if I knew, it would be wonderful. It would be really great. The problem is, I don't. But we're getting there. That's what therapy's for. Hey, everybody out there in podcast world, it's Casey Hamilton from A Slice of Ham, and I just want to let you know that I went ahead and bit the bullet and made a Patreon account for this podcast. I was initially very worried, I convinced myself that, people weren't going to sign up for it anyway. What do I have to offer? What extra stuff can I do? Blah, 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 this and that. And I thought long and hard about the tiers, and I think that I have something that you guys would enjoy. There's something out there for everybody. There's something out there for anyone at whatever level that they want to listen to me at. So if you would like to support the show, if you'd like to help me achieve my dream of doing this full time, then support my Patreon page. It's patreon.com/aSliceOfHam. That's patreon.com/aSliceOfHam. You can also look up A Slice of Ham on Google and search Patreon there, or you can go to my TikTok account, my Beacons page, my Instagram. There's a link all throughout each of those social media sites. So if you want to support me, I thank you highly. And if you don't have the money to support me and you just want to listen anyway, thank you, because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you listening. I wouldn't be here if you weren't for you tuning in. So if you don't have any money to give, but you still want to listen to support, I appreciate that. But if you do have some money that you would like to spare and help me support my dream of doing this full time, then you are more than welcome to, and I highly appreciate it. That's patreon.com/aSliceOfHam. Hope to see you there. Oh, my God. All right. Before I leave, I do want to talk briefly just about some shit that's been going on in the news. Next week's episode will be a little bit more research-based. I did have a rough week, not a rough week, but there was a lot going on. I was trying to set up streaming, and I dedicated a lot of energy to that, and I kind of let the podcast fall by the wayside. But the beautiful thing about a podcast is that you can talk about anything, can't you? Let's read the news. The first thing that I read this morning, and I'm shocked that I didn't just get to it recently. My God, we got a new Patreon supporter just now, Megan Weimer. Weimer? Is that how you... I hope that I'm not butchering this name, but I am for sure. Megan, thank you very much for supporting. Thank you very, very much for joining the family. Join the Secret Book Club, a new $10 patron. We love you. We love you. I'm glad that the Secret Book Club is going well. So thank you to Megan. What was going on in the news? In the news, 10 hours ago, this is very, very recent, Shakira was attacked by a pair of wild boars. Pop superstar Shakira says she was the victim of a random attack by a pair of wild boars while walking in a park in Barcelona with her 8-year-old son. The Colombian singer said the animals attacked her before seizing her bag and retreating with it into the woods. She shared her bizarre tale in a series of Instagram stories on Wednesday. Holding the now recovered but torn bag towards the camera, she said, "Look at how two wild boar which attacked me in the park have left my bag." Shakira is the latest victim of increasingly aggressive hogs, which have invaded the Catalan capital in recent years. In 2016, Spanish police received 1,187 phone calls about wild hogs attacking dogs, plundering cat feeders, holding up traffic, and running into cars in the city. So Barcelona's got a hog problem. They literally stole her shit. That's ridiculous. She got mugged by boars. Ah. Gabby Petito, in that case, has been taken, everybody, by storm. She was found dead. Her boyfriend, fiance, whatever, Brian, was still missing. Dog, the fucking bounty hunter, showed up to his house. Like, what good is he gonna do? I wonder, what good is he gonna do? Can he help, or is he just gonna hurt? Britney Spears' father was removed as her conservator, and it's fucking wild to me that for, like, the better part of a decade, Britney Spears had to pay her father, pay her dad's lawyer, and her own, like, court-appointed attorney. Like, everybody had a collective interest in keeping the conservatorship going. Like, do you really think that they were going to want to end it when, like, she has to pay her dad because he's her conservator? Like, is there any incentive for that to stop? No. Good God. All right. Another story. 96-year-old woman who fled Nazi war crimes trial is found. All right. Well, goddamn. She fled charges of aiding and abetting murder in a Nazi concentration camp, found by local police and will be brought before the court. A 96-year-old woman. Her name was Irmgard Ferchner. Like, Irmgard? I hate to make light of this. There's not really much to that story. She's going to get tried. They found her. I wonder how fast she ran. Bacon prices have skyrocketed to record levels, and they might not go down anytime soon. That's what. Here's what you do. You take all those fucking hogs from Spain. You start getting rid of those and adding them to the bacon supply. How about that, huh? Jeffrey Bezos and Elon Musk are in a little cat fight. That's fun. I don't get this fucking race to space. I don't understand it. And it's kind of embarrassing to a degree. Like, why don't you just help the rest of your people? And I get that it's not a private citizen's responsibility to, like, help everyone. It really isn't Jeffrey Bezos' responsibility to use his money to help the masses. He doesn't have to if he doesn't want to, really. He's a private citizen. It should be the government's job to make sure people can't, like, hoard wealth like that. Like, it's... Tax him! Tax him! There's a lot going on in the news. Facebook has been getting grilled over its fucking impact on the kids. And I'll tell you one, I'll tell you, it's not good. Facebook is not good for people. Facebook is not good for people. Social media is kind of not good for people. The news is fun. Mainly, I was happy that Britney Spears had her conservatorship ended. That's great. I would love to see her just relax. Just take a few years off and just chill. Or take the rest of your life off. You've earned enough money to do it. You're a legend. You don't have to work another day in your life. God, what a tragedy. Well, today has been a pretty funky episode. We briefly covered some news. Mostly it was a mental health centered episode, which, hey, we got to get those out every once in a while. But I hope I give you a better picture of, you know, how I see myself. Really what the goal is for podcasting is for you guys to get a better idea of who I am. You know, it's for me to take you on rabbit holes, but also for you guys to figure out who I am, for you guys to, you know, go on these rabbit holes with me, and that's just a part of me. So if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. I appreciate you very much. I know that the news bit was a little bit short, but we did do a lot of talking today, a lot of crying today, a lot of hugging today, a lot of friendship today. All right. If you guys want, you can join me on my Twitch stream at twitch.tv/HamiltonStreams. I'm probably going to be playing some Sonic Adventure 2, maybe doing some Let's Chat streams, just talking out, talking some stuff out. Who knows? But anyway, from all of us here at A Slice of Ham, thank you very much for listening. I think you smell delicious. You have a lovely smell. You smell like peaches and lemons. See you later, you peachy, lemony bitch.